Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? It's always tease, tease, tease. You're happy when I'm on my knees. One day is fine and next is black. So if you want me off your back, well come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now?
Hey, 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 welcome back, welcome back. Yes, it is. It is Tuesday.
And that means that it's the Carolyn and Joe show.
That's right. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Just in case you guys couldn't tell. Just in case.
Oh, I'm Joe.
Sometimes you got to give those guys reminders out there. You got to remind them, you know what I mean? I've had some pretty interesting spellings of my name. That's always fun.
How do people spell your name?
Joseph. You say Joe with the F? Joseph?
Yes. Joseph.
Joseph? Joseph?
Who
is that? Who is that? Joe Ken? What is that? His name? That
Joe,
Filipino?
Joe.
The Filipino
Joe
comedian?
Coy?
Joe Coy?
The name?
Filipino comedian on Chelsea Handler? The bald guy?
Yeah.
I think that guy's freaking hilarious, man. What do you think?
He's very funny. I like him.
I think it's good.
I think I even like him more than that gay guy on the show. You know that guy that has like the bow tie and he's like, I'm so gay.
The Chelsea Handler?
Yeah.
The late night? What's the show called?
Chelsea Lately.
Chelsea Lately? I always call it Chelsea Handler for some reason.
I always wonder if people think that her last name is Lately.
We should call up people and find out. If they
like, her name is actually Chelsea Handler. But her show is called Chelsea Lately, but I swear to God, if they were to do a poll on this, I have no scientific explanation for this.
Yeah.
But I just have a feeling that if they were to actually poll people on what her name is, I think people would think that her name is Chelsea Lately.
I mean, it does sound like a good name, like a Chelsea, hey, there goes Chelsea Lately. You know what I mean? That really, as opposed to like Handler.
I mean, I think people still recognize her as Chelsea Handler, but I just think that there are probably a good segment of people that know of her that think that her last name is Lately.
What do you think about that show? Because I've had a few like discussions, I guess, with other professionals and in like the car rides or whatever, and they're like, I don't know if I really like the three person discussion group. I actually am a huge fan of of that show, the Chelsea Handler show.
What do they say?
Chelsea Lately, I mean.
What do they say about the three-person setup? Why
don't
they don't like it? Do they give reasons?
I guess, I mean, I don't know if you guys notice at home, but we always talk about things we like. Majority of the times we talk about things that we enjoy. And I enjoy, Chelsea Lately. I don't know. I really don't know. They were just sort of like... Yeah, I don't know about that. Blah 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 blah. It doesn't really matter to me.
I've just heard people say that she's like mean, but she's like not funny.
Mean but not funny?
Yeah.
I describe this mean but not funny. Because
I don't know. That's not my opinion, but I've heard people say that.
Because
like she's just, I don't know. She can be like kind of, I guess, vicious, but I think it's like a funny vicious.
I think it's the same type of comedy in which you'd laugh at your like someone's dad or someone who's always pissed off, like James. It's like that equivalent like comedy when you're laughing with them or laughing at them because they're so pissed off.
But I like the format that she has because it feels like in a way like that it's to the point where they don't even kind of necessarily know that they're on air, that they're just talking.
Sort of like us. Sort of like how we do it. I wonder where we got this idea from.
But I feel like that's the best because then you're getting like an honest opinion and it just sounds like friends talking. So, you know,
isn't that how some people described our show? They're like, it's just sort of like you guys are just talking. I'm all like, well, what else do you want us to do? Do you want us? We can't really do like
we
a Howard
jump
Stern.
Jump through like hula hoops.
Jump through hula hoops, like a seal. I like see seals and dolphins go through like hula hoops and stuff like that.
Yeah, we should bounce balls on our noses.
I'm not gonna bounce any balls on my face, man.
I hope not. Some people like balls on their face, but you know. I hope you're not one of them.
Oh, I just proved to you that I lack any joy of any balls being at my face.
What about soccer fact, balls?
It's on my Wikipedia. Oh, by the way, Joe does not like balls on his face. Citation needed.
By the way.
I like going through Wikipedia and then, like, you know, I don't know, is that counted as a credible source these days?
Well,
or
you know what? I heard, a project that I'm working on, you know, during my day job is with the Air Force. And we actually took, apparently, I wasn't involved with this part of it, but they actually took, like, this map of where all the Air Force bases were. And apparently there was some incorrect information on that.
On Wikipedia?
Yeah. So they got, like, not really that big trouble. Nothing. I don't think nothing went live, but the client was like, yeah, we don't have an Air Force base there.
Wait, we got this from
Wikipedia. And then, like they were like, lesson learned, Wikipedia isn't always right.
I remember there was a, like, I really wanted to be on Wikipedia. There was a time because, like, I saw, like, you know, our friend Sanjay Dutt was there, and then my cousin Charlene, who's on Peep Show with Holly Madison, was on there.
Holly.
And, you know,
she's a direct connection to Good Charlotte now.
Yeah. Who, Holly?
Yeah.
I was going to say
she's
Charlene.
Charlene's
direct contact.
Well, Charlene could be because Charlene works with Holly, and Holly's dating Benji.
We're all direct connections to Good Charlotte. But at least I was looking at their pages, and, like, in my head, I was just like, well, I've done just as much as them. Why can't I have a Wikipedia page? Like, who has to add this citation to it?
Yeah.
And then, like, so, you know, anyone can make a Wikipedia page. But I forget what it really needed, because I know I put my page and, like, I did, like, a little bio. I think that was actually the
you
last
had a bio on there.
I think that was the last time I ever, like, made my own bio, because I think that made me fed up of, like I like
is it talk, still there?
I like verbally talking about myself, like, to a degree when I know I need to promote. But when I have to sit there and write, like, I'm really almost like, what's that word where you're overly conscious or every single word
thinking too much.
Yeah, or maybe it's just like a form of dyslexia where it's just like every word has to be, no, this is an A plus, no, a th, you know, and then you keep going back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like that, and, like, that's why I don't like writing my bios, because it's like, imagine how much stress I put over myself writing a single sentence and then now writing about myself.
Somebody I'm following on Twitter, I can't remember who said this, because it was like, usually sometimes I check Twitter at like 3 a.m. and I don't remember anything. Anyway, but the guy, like, wrote something like, he was like, when you're updating your Twitter, your own Twitter page, he's like, that's when it's gone too far. He's like, Googling yourself is fine, but or updating your own Wikipedia is a little much.
No, but people need to know, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I haven't really checked if the Wikipedia is up there, but I thought I had some valid points. But then I believe it got taken away. Like, I remember, like,
how does it get taken away?
No, because, like, they survey that, I believe, and they're like, I think on the page itself, it's like, it needs to be checked. Like, they say, like, this will be taken down in a certain amount of days if certain things don't get checked for accuracy and stuff like that. And I believe it got taken down. I guess I didn't have a webpage then. We weren't as defined on the web as we are right now.
I feel like
we have our own
you
show.
Need to actually, like, be distinct in your description and say that you don't like balls in your face.
That's what I want to say. That'd be the first thing.
I feel like
Joe
that
also shares a big dislike for balls in his face.
But I feel like someone would read that and they would get
the
taken down.
Voice. That's the Wikipedia voice.
We should do that. You know, that was that Apple Talk or something like that, or Apple Voice, where just, like, you can type in what you want and it will repeat it for you.
Just like on that episode of Undeclared.
It's like the Carolyn and Joe show.
That'll be our opening.
We should use that.
We can have an opening music.
Actually, I'm gonna do
the
that.
Carolyn and Joe show. Welcome to the Carolyn and Joe show.
I've had that idea for, like, the past 2 weeks. I just haven't told you about that. But I wanted to do that. Have, like, a little show opener or something.
I've been wanting to do that. James and I were actually thinking about making music, but just for some reason these days it just gets so difficult to line up the stars with people. You know, it feels like the only time I can line up even friends sometime to say, like, all right, I'll pay you to show up.
You know what's kind of sad? I feel like, you know, not to, like, resort back to high school, but in high school.
To resort back to high school.
But the thing is, in high school, you get to see your friend, like, every hour. Like, class lets out after whatever hour and a half, and then the bell rings, and then you're like, yeah, I get to see my friends at the lockers for, like, you know, whatever, 7 minutes until the next bell rings. So it's like you always have this constant connection with, like, at least one of your friends.
Yeah.
But then, like, the more and more older you get, the less and less you see people. Like, even close people. Even people that, like, in a way, like, live, you know, 15 minutes away. It's just so hard to, like, line that up.
Well, maybe you should just check the Wikipedia to see what they're doing.
Wikipedia.
Just Wikipedia them. That's how you know. I think that's how you know if you made it in some point in which if you're on Wikipedia.
Maybe one of our viewers can put us on Wikipedia.
Hey, I'll give you $1,000.
Hey, listeners.
Give you $1,000 if you put the Carolyn and Joe Show on Wikipedia. I think you're probably going to have a better chance of staying on Wikipedia than I do, because me being the writer, I get neglected through everything. People just don't even know what I am when we go to the convention table. They're just like, you know what I mean?
No, at Pittsburgh Comic Con, you did get a claim.
Yeah, but that was by mistake.
No, that was by ignorance.
That was by sex. That was sexism. That's why.
You're sexist.
That was sexism. That's the only reason why. So. Usually they're just like, even at the DC Comic Con, like, I forget when we got there. You know, and you're shaking the one of the organizers' hands, and then I was next to shake his hand, and then like he looked at me, he's like, are you like a volunteer? You're one of our volunteers here? And I was like, no, I'm Carolyn's writer. Oh, okay. I was like, all right, dude. Whatever your name is.
I don't know, but I'm saying, like, I feel like from going to
shouldn't even be pronounced like that. It should be like, it's not like, oh, I'm Carolyn's writer. It's like, well, this is our book. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like from going to a lot of the comic shows, we've exhibited at New York Comic Con, Heroes Convention in North Carolina, Baltimore Comic Con, Small Press Expo, and, you know, now DC Comic Con, and then a whole bunch of other smaller shows like in DC area and Maryland. But
the thing is, they weren't small though. If you think about it, they're actually pretty big.
In a way, every event is kind of big, but it's like when you compare it to New York Comic Con,
comparing anything to New York Comic Con, it's like, this is a food court and this is a plate. You know what I mean? That's how it is.
This is one kernel of rice,
and
this is like anything you can eat.
Yeah,
forever.
That's really how when you describe.
It's basically like Ethiopia versus America.
Ethiopia.
Yeah. I don't know.
She's dissing Ethiopia.
Well, I heard they don't have many food there, you know? Sometimes, like, I always wondered this. In Richmond, like, I kind of lived adjacent to, like, an Ethiopian restaurant across the street. And I always wondered, like, what type of food they have there. Apparently, they do have some type of ethnic food, but then I was always like, well, I don't know, I always associate that country with, like, Starvin' Marvin from South Park and stuff like that. Like, just eating, like, one little rice a day. And I just, like, when I was, I always used to think that when you went into that restaurant, you'd just get a piece of rice.
A piece of rice.
Well, someone tell me what Ethiopian food is and, like, educate me, because I'm ignorant. As Michael would say, I'm ignorant about Ethiopian food.
We just gotta bring it back to the food on the radio show. Well, everything must revolve around.
I guess
around
what I'm
food.
Getting at is with the conventions. Like, I can honestly say that I really do think the writers are a little bit shafted. Meaning,
unless
that,
it's like a brand name writer, really.
Well, yeah, unless, you know, yeah. But the thing is, in general, I feel like down the line the writers are, because they can't sketch any. Well, not necessarily can't, but people don't ask them for sketches. Like, what can you really? You know, and then also people are just visually drawn to the art, and they're just like, oh, I love your art, you know, and stuff like that. Like, no one really comes up to a writer necessarily.
I mean, I technically can do sketches. It's just not my job in this partnership here to be the one doing sketches or any one of that.
That's fine.
You know
I mean, like, you're not necessarily required to, but I'm just saying that, like, the thing is that that's what people are looking for at conventions. So obviously they're going to gravitate more towards the artist. Like, there's reason behind it. I'm not saying, you know, it's wrong. In a way, I can understand why. I mean, like, when you meet an author, like, really all you can have them do is really sign the book.
Or you can have a conversation.
Yeah, you can have a conversation too, but I'm just saying, I don't know, I just feel like just the general nature of, like, it's still a drawn comic book. So, in a way, like, the art, even though it might not necessarily be proper, the art kind of overshadows the writing.
Well, I think it definitely, because really, if people aren't drawn to the art, no one's going to get the words, so to speak. You know, the artwork has to be good enough to hold the weight of the words.
But then the words are, in a way, like, more important than the art, because story is more important.
Well, here's the one thing. I just don't want to be looked upon whenever I'm at any convention or show, for one thing, is like, oh, that's either like, oh yeah, that's just the boyfriend hanging out, or that's just the husband, or that's just some friend. Like, I don't want to be looked at as someone that's not doing, like, doing it. I don't want to be like a tag along or a lackey that's just there. That's the key point, and that's how sometimes I feel. It's like, you know how like some artists, like, or even some female, or some, even when we were at the DC Comic Con, and there was just, yeah, the Luna Brothers, and then they just had their girlfriends just hanging out looking at them draw. Like, I am not that. I am not like the girlfriend or the boyfriend that just hangs out and is just like, oh, I'm so lucky, this person's so talented, I can't believe it, I'm just gonna sit here and look pretty. I can't even do that. You know what I mean?
Well, some people thought that I was just like at where was it? Pittsburgh Comic Con. Like these two girls came by, like, you know, they at Pittsburgh Comic Con, they actually have this really lovely like booklet that has everybody's name in it, and they have spaces for autographs. Well, you know, these girls came by and they like immediately went to Joe and they were like, "Oh, can you sign my autograph book?" And then, like, yeah. and then, yeah, and then they just like, you know, Joe signed it, and then they completely walked right by me. And I like distinctively made a face because, you know, whatever, I'm gonna do that. And then, did I say anything to them? I can't remember. But then I think the second girl saw my face because the first girl already was walking by, and the second girl like kind of did a like a back turn, and then she came back and she's like, "Oh, she's like, are you in this book too?" And then they both had me sign it.
Oh, but are you also there? Well, I mean,
oh, yeah, you're here. And then, like, you know, and then also at Pittsburgh, someone else made a comment saying that there was no girl, not hardly any girls there, and they were so surprised that I make a comic.
Wait, where was this?
At Pittsburgh.
Oh my God, you make. See, you make comics. That's actually one of the things. Like, I mean, we're just gonna start talking about ourselves, which I'm plenty happy to do. I'm always jumping towards the chance of doing any type of interview, no matter what. But I like actually that story. It's a weird dynamic in a way, because it's like everything that we produce is against the grain of what's normal in comic books in a way, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the same scenario, you're going with this writer's syndrome or something. I have the like female syndrome.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, then also I'm the guy here in this female only, you know, that's that side.
Oh, also,
we're an island amongst ourselves.
Actually,
that's why we,
you know,
rule,
what?
Man.
As far as like the female thing goes, I you can argue certain things about that, positive or negative. But now that I started like this job, you know. New job, and so I'm working with a whole bunch of new people, and you know, all that during my day job. But the thing is the funny thing is about that new one is that there's six guys on the creative staff and one girl, so it's just an interesting dynamic. I feel like what's her name from Mad Men, the copywriter girl,
Peggy.
Yeah, Peggy Olson. Even though I don't necessarily write copy full time. I can contribute to doing that, but someone else is like, that's their job, so I don't want to step on toes. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, you're still working. Like, you know how in Mad Men, Peggy is working with, like, all these guys, but then there are girls in the office, but they're usually all secretaries.
Yeah. I mean, they have a whole lot of secretaries there.
And even when they call people secretaries, they're just like, hey, did your girl answer the phone?
Yeah.
It's not even like, hey, did your assistant answer the phone or anything? It's like, your girl.
Girl.
Did your girl get that memo? You know, or whatever. But I mean, whereas like
Don, you gotta control your girl.
But like Peggy, you know, is, I'm not saying that those other girls don't do work, but you know, Peggy's actually doing work and stuff like that. She's, you know, she's more known for her mind than her typing skills. But the thing is like there are other women who work in my office. You know, like most of them are like production managers and stuff like that. Like they're just not like a secretary. I'm not saying that at all. Like they produce the work that we're doing, so it's awesome. So there are women there, but as far as like coming up with creative, to be like the only girl on like a 7-person creative staff, it's kind of, you know, it's interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
But that's how I kind of in a way necessarily feel about comics too. It's like. I mean, honestly, I can only probably name, I'm sure there's more, but I really can only really name, like, 10 to 15 prominent female creators. I mean, there are more, I know that there are more, but as far as, like, really, like, people that are very prominent and visible in the industry, there's probably only, like, 15. Whereas, like,
who's
guys...
Who's the Pepper Potts?
In the comic book industry?
In any of the industry.
I don't know. Well, we've had this conversation about just like females in general. When you think about like, you know, open up your mind and like think of any female inspirations.
I need you to open up your mind to see what's in front of you.
I mean, with guys, guys have so many inspirations. Like, even in comics, you know, like guys can like young children can be like, oh, Spider-Man, Batman, Iron Man, they're all so awesome. But like young girls. Like, you know, nothing.
Girls have Amy Racecar.
No one knows that.
And Roxy
Monroe.
No one
knows that. But, like, I'm just saying, girls have Barbie. And actually, you know what? I stick up for Barbie. I like Barbie. She can do whatever she wants. You know, they make Barbie. They even have, like, that, what is it, an IT Barbie? They have a
computer. She comes with a laptop now.
She comes with a laptop.
And glasses.
And glasses. I mean,
so like, apparently they come together. Glasses and a computer come together.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know you can say what you will about Barbie, that she's like a ditzy blonde, whatever.
I've never heard her talk. I don't know.
I mean, but the thing is, and though she has big boobs and they had to make her boobs smaller or something. And it's like, come on, let her be. She is who she is. She just happens to be really pretty, and she can do it all. And there's nothing wrong with that.
She can do it all, man.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. So what? She has her paradise, Malibu, whatever, playhouse, and she has a nice car, and she has any job that she wants. I don't know how her relationship with Ken really is, though.
I've never heard Ken talk.
I've never heard him talk either.
Probably talks like Eric Bischoff.
I feel like Barbie is like, I don't know. I don't. Did she ever like get married to Ken, or is that just her boyfriend?
I guess they've been going for a long time. I've never seen. There's no like wedding Barbie.
There isn't.
Is there?
I'm sure there probably is some special edition one.
Wedding Barbie? Why would there be a wedding Barbie?
Why not? She can do it all. She has everything. I mean, I don't know. I like Barbie. See, I'm not gonna talk down about Barbie. I mean, I understand the like both sides of the argument of Barbie, but I still feel like she's not harmful, you know? Like, Bratz is more harmful than Barbie.
Because Bratz look like aliens.
They look like freaking aliens, and they actually look pretty skanky.
It's funny because, like, really, like, the normal girls, you know, the average girl's clothing these days is skanky as hell. Like, underwear, shorts, nipple shirts.
They're both just practically just go naked. But the thing is,
DSL
like,
lips.
As far that's just all looks. But the thing is like, as far as like a profession or like any of that, like there's not really much to look up for women. And then when you think about it, it's like Martha Stewart, Oprah, and Hillary Clinton. And honestly, I don't inspire to be any one of those people. Nothing against them.
Well, the thing is, do you inspire to do what they do? That's the thing.
Not necessarily, but I'm just saying with guys, you can have any sports star, pretty much, on a kid's wall. And you could have...
Well, a guy can have a woman on the wall, too.
Like Farrah Fawcett.
No, why does it have to be Farrah Fawcett?
I don't know. She has that famous poster.
No, but like, you know, they can have women's sports. But then if they do have posters of it, then see, I think the problem isn't that. It's that the girls will just get jealous and then they'll just deconstruct each other and like just destroy their legacy.
Yeah, that's another thing about girls.
They don't let each other succeed. That's why.
Yeah, girls get, for some stupid reason, I guess, jealous of something.
They like, get jealous of everything because
that's why,
they're
like,
not, there's no, they want to be the alpha female. That's what it is. Every girl wants to be the alpha female. If not, then they just huddle into a ball and then they become very insecure and then they're never allowed to do anything. And then everything is all about She's All That, the movie.
But I mean, like, even if
every girl is She's All That, man.
Everybody like says like, oh, you know, Megan Fox is hot. Like all these guys are
she's so hot.
She
looks
hot.
Good. She's drawn well.
But then
the girls
though are like, well, I don't know about her. She's just skanky and she doesn't really look that good. You know, or whatever. Well, I don't know what they say.
I can show my titties. Oh, and then like that's what happens really. Like you have one awesome hot girl that doesn't really take that much effort to look all that hot. She just is. She's her being is like that. And then what happens is all the other girls like try to outdo them, and then they just, what happens is instead of trying to outclass them, they just outslut them. They're like, oh, I can show my titties. Look, take a look at my vagina. My vagina. Take
then,
a look at it. Just look at my vagina.
And it all goes up on Facebook.
Yeah.
Man, I saw this
and then later on, they're like, and then they put on their Facebook, oh, that was a mistake. I should never do this again. You know what I mean? They always.
Do you know that there's this website?
This is what they do. They do a full step and then take it back. They take a step back. Full step, take a step back. They always do that. That's just this. It's just this back and forth that they always like to. They always like to do. And they don't want to be one thing. It's like, I'm talking about the average girl. I'm not talking about you, the listener. That's actually a pretty awesome girl. But I'm talking about that girl that is basically a walking mirror. Is what it is. Just reflecting light and reflecting all that she sees and just being whatever is in front of them.
There's this one website that's done by that guy who did that parking website that says, like, you can't park or something like that.
Yeah.
And basically, with the parking one, he takes pictures of parking lots and, like, badly parked cars, and then he puts them all on the internet. And it's pretty interesting to see how people park. But then he has this other website called, like, I don't know, youreslutorsomething.com.
Youreslut.com.
I'm sure there is that, but I don't know if that's the actual site. Anyway, but basically...
James, if you're listening, go check out youreslut.com and call us back before the show ends.
I'm sure James is going to find this one. But
he's going to be like, what? Youresluts.com?
It's also by the same guy that does a Bluetooth website.
Website?
Like that. You showed it to me. It was like the guy that if you see people... like wearing a Bluetooth in a public restaurant or something, people take pictures of it and put it online. Like the like, you know, call them out on it.
But, I remember that.
But anyway, so this guy has like several funny websites. But anyway, so You're a Slut, that one. Basically, it's like people will take pictures from like their friends.
Their
friends' Facebook.
Those like, are awesome.
So like say you're on Facebook and you see this like girl that's just like having all her like picture, you know, having it all hang out there in her bathroom mirror.
Yeah.
She's just like taking pictures of her being all slutified. Well, basically like people collect them and then put it all on this one site. So even if the girls like tried to delete it from their account, it's still on the internet somewhere.
Because some people brand them as like camera whores.
But even those girls, like I was on that site for probably under 2 minutes and I just had enough of it because I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe people did that.
Youresluts.com.
They wanted to have that much attention and now they're like permanently on your
What type
slut.
Of poses are they doing?
Like just trying to be like sexy poses.
Trying to be sexy poses.
Yeah, trying to be sexy poses.
They don't even know what sexy is
it's
anymore.
It's not even like sexy poses. It's trying to be sexy poses where they like are all...
Check out my ass!
They're all like bending
Check
over.
Check out my ass!
It's all, and
Check
also
out
it's,
my... And then they put like they put like their... They either hike up or put like push down one side of their panties and like, oh, check it out. You're so close. You're so close to it, but I'm not going to show you. America, you suck.
But even like I just can't believe that.
Not that I'm any better. Sorry.
But I guess like, you know, those girls are looking for a brief moment of attention and most of the pictures are done like in their bathroom where you can see their mirror and they're holding up their phone.
So the first thing they do is like I'm gonna put this on the internet.
Yeah.
Check out my ass.
And like there's a couple girls on there where you're just like, ah, it doesn't even look remotely good.
But they try though, right?
I guess. It's like you know how like Britney had those cut off shorts where she was like all like walking around in like parking lots and stuff.
Youresluts.com. Yeah, when she's there.
And she was like going to 7-Elevens and buying Cheetos without shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like those type of girls, like all like, I don't know, Dairy Queen girls.
That's what happened. So all these girls started wearing cut off jeans. So then.
With the pockets showing
in
the front.
So everyone's just like, why don't we just make jeans or shorts that are just that short? If they're trying to wear those anyway. It's like they basically look like the length of a bandana. I remember we were walking around the mall after the movie and it's just like a line of like 4 inches of jeans. Or four inch wide length of like just denim. I'm like, are those shorts now? It's awesome, but still, it's just sort of like, wow.
I mean, if you can
wear them, I guess
wear them.
They look better than bad
them.
Shorts, though. But really, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what style you're wearing, as long as it's wearing you well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with people wearing short shorts if it's like 90 degrees out. I mean, if it's hot out, you know, don't wear pants.
Well,
take off as much as you can.
Well, I wear pants all the time anyway. I never wear shorts.
But you're a guy. It's like, you know, if it's 90 degrees out and you're a girl, I mean, you wear like a tank top and shorts, you know?
A tank top and shorts.
Whatever you need to wear, you
wear
know?
Only girls can get away with wearing tank tops at all times.
I mean, I'm just
Isn't
saying.
That true? Isn't that true?
I don't have a problem with it.
Guys can't wear tank tops like just
Well,
go
Dave up. Navarro can.
He just doesn't wear a shirt in general sometimes.
Well, sometimes he wears a blank black tank top.
But he has like that expensive tank tops. His designer tank top.
Is that what they are?
Yeah. Those are expensive ones, the ones that Dave Navarro is wearing.
They're just black.
Yeah, but they're not just black.
Well, how much are they?
I don't know. They look pretty expensive. They don't look like Hanes.
That's what I thought they were. No. Like those $10.
No, they're not like
beaters.
That. That's not like that. He's wearing those expensive. Dave Navarro is wearing those expensive. Because you can look at the cut. You know what I mean? Like I was looking at the cover of that Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman, and they broke down the pricing of it, and they said like his tank top was like $40, man. I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Well, you know, it's Wolverine, so.
Yeah, but it's just like, wow, they couldn't just get a normal one. They have to go to Dolce & Gabbana or some shit to get that one.
Well, this is Dave Navarro. I mean, if he has the money for it.
That's what I'm saying. It's not just no normal tank top.
Well, it looks good, so. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with Dave. What did you think of his PETA ad where he's posing naked? For Ink, Not Mink.
I don't think I saw it. Did I see it?
I think you might have.
I probably didn't see it.
I put it on Facebook and then I posted something of like I was like, you know, don't hurt animals and like whatever, something like that. And then I think it was El Jefe posted something like, I will do whatever I can not to hurt animals as long as I don't have to see Dave Navarro naked. And then I was like, you might not like it, but I do. Anyway. Well, let's talk about Iron Man, because we saw Iron Man this weekend, and it was opening weekend, and I heard it was the fifth largest opening ever.
That's great.
So what did you think overall?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, like, going into the movie, we'll take our time telling this. I mean, going into it, you know, I didn't really read that much about...
the hype,
you know,
monster.
I mean, I do follow Jon Favreau on Twitter, so he's always giving his little updates. Not his little updates, but you know, he's always online. He's well connected on
Twitter. I don't follow him, so tell me about his tweets.
I don't know. He tweets. He just does little updates. I'm like, oh yeah, check this out, blah blah blah. You know, just normal.
Like production diaries type stuff.
No, not production diaries. Just like he'll retweet someone, or he'll say like, oh, doing color correction now, or not like that. More of in a playful way. But really, the first thing that I read about for Iron Man 2 going into this movie wasn't very positive. I don't know, going into it wasn't, there was that sort of like, I guess the sequel syndrome that was going into it. And I have to say, after watching the movie, you know, after like the first minutes of watching the movie, I sort of like, all those thoughts went away of like, oh, this movie's probably not going to be as good as the second one, because, I mean, really, I shouldn't be going into a movie thinking that anyway, but I mean, I enjoyed this. I don't even know if I'm... Why should I even compare it to the first one? Because I'm not really a fan of origin movies. Or, I mean, origin storylines. Because you know what? I already know the origin. You know what I mean? I want to go right into the action. That's why I like Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 1. Origin, I already know this. I already know the origin. You know what? I mean, I read comics, so blah, blah, blah. Origin. Origin story is usually to grab the person that's not familiar with the character and stuff like that.
Yeah, like the couple next to us, I heard the girl back when they had that,
like,
that Captain America shield, and she's like, what is that? And then the boyfriend was like, that's Captain America.
That's Captain America's shield, oh my god.
And then she was just like, oh. I mean, hey,
Does that mean something? At least she asked.
She don't know, ask.
But yeah, like, to me personally, I'm not the hugest fan. Like, even when it was like Batman Begins, I didn't really care much about like, oh, let's go. I just want to see the character done right, man. I don't care if I learn where he comes from or whatever it is, because at the end of the day, in my head, I know what this character is supposed to be. You know what I mean? Like, I really enjoyed Robert Downey Jr.'s performance as Tony Stark, you know, and to me, I feel like that's the main reason to watch the movie, because, you know, action sequences today, they're always going to try to top each other. They're always going to try to be the next big thing. They're always going to try to be bigger and more exciting than like the opening ceremonies of like the Chinese Olympics.
And as far as I'm concerned, it's like when I was watching Iron Man, there's a part where like you don't really actually see the Iron Man suit until like the fight's near the end. So, like...
We see him in the beginning.
Well, you see in the beginning, but, like, you don't...
You do see him.
You see him, but it's, like, a large majority of the movie is Tony. But halfway through, I was like, oh, who needs Iron Man when you have Tony?
But think about it this way. I mean, this is one of the problems that that Sam Raimi tried to solve with the first Spider-Man. Like, in the first Spider-Man, you have this great villain. You got this great villain as the Green Goblin, right? And you have Norman Osborn underneath the Green Goblin's mask and stuff like that. But the problem is, you have two characters that are in masks, that are in full on masks. You can't see any expression in their face. Can't even see them talk. You can barely see them move when they do that. Mm-hmm. See, and then when you have that as one of your main characters in the story, or even when you're watching it visually, you're not. When someone's wearing a mask, you're not really that connected. That's, you know, true. You don't have that connection. Unless this is like Lucha Libre or something like that. But even then, you can still see their eyes and their mouth. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
And the Lucha Libres never take off their masks.
Yeah, and this is one thing I know that Jon Favreau helped out to bring a connection with the audience to Tony Stark being in the Iron Man mask is that face perspective. Mm-hmm. Like when you can see him and you see all the stuff that's flying around, but you actually see his face.
You see the heads-up display.
You see that, but also you actually physically see his face.
While
he's inside the suit. And I think that was really, that to me was really important for them to connect. And I think, that I think was really, really, really important. And maybe, I mean, and in truth, that's the reason, you know, that they tried to, at least in Iron Man, people want to see Tony. They want to see his reactions. You know, maybe that's why they make the action short and sweet. But it wasn't really short. There's a lot of explosions and stuff like that.
You know,
but even when he was fighting, there were sometimes he had the mask up, you know? The human element is really what makes people, like an audience, connect.
True. People were saying that when Mickey Rourke dies, that they were upset that, like, that explosion went right up to his face.
Who?
Like, you know when Mickey Rourke dies?
Yeah.
Like, there was an explosion that went right in his face, and then he, like, plopped down. And then, like, he didn't die until, like, they both joined their forces together, palm to palm. And people were like, how come his face didn't get messed up? Because I'm like, well, you still have to see that it's him.
I mean, like, it could have. I mean, he was pretty damaged at that point. I don't know, man. We don't even know what those beams are made of.
Yeah, I don't know.
See, here's the key thing, maybe, when people go look at superhero movies, is that they try to decipher the logic of it so much. You try to break down the science. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's I don't know. I find it ridiculous. You know, I like superheroes. I love comic books. But there's a moment where a human being should really just let go and just go for it. You know what I mean? But I understand when it's bad. I understand when it's bad. I think when a movie is bad is because you have nothing to grab. You know, there's nothing that's grabbing you into the story. And I know a lot of people really went into this movie to go see Tony Stark.
Yeah.
You know, for me,
draw.
Yeah, I wasn't really interested in seeing Iron Man. Like, I knew, like, Iron Man is the background, but I knew what I wanted to see was just a cool, freaking badass, like Tony Stark. Like in the first movie when he was walking out. I don't know, he's walking out of the building or something, and the girls are like, remember me, Tony? And he's like, nope. And he just, like, walked right into the car. Like, those moments, like, even
In the second movie, they had, his POV as he's, like, you know, around this big gala of people. And then the girl was like, oh, hi, Tony. And then it was, like, just straight-up shot of cleavage.
Yeah. I remember you.
And he's like, I remember you. It wasn't even, like, her face. It was awesome.
Yeah, like, moments like that, like, the cool, like, the badassness, that's really... what I paid to see. You know, I also paid to see Don Cheadle too, because I'm a fan of Don Cheadle. Because I remember there's a time I just remember watching what's that movie with the Jackie Chan, Rush Hour 2. Don Cheadle's in Rush Hour 2.
Did you just call him the Jackie Chan?
Yeah, the Jackie Chan, the next Mr. Miyagi. There's one moment in, because Don Cheadle plays like a restaurant owner who's also in the background, like backstage or whatever, is controlling, like, he has like gambling happening in the background. But during the end of the movie, they're playing like outtakes and stuff like that, and Chris Tucker kept on calling Jackie Chan like Jackie. He's like, is that right, Jackie? You know, but his name is Lee. And like they have this constant like, "That's right, tell him, Jackie." You mean Lee? And then but there's a point where he kept on doing it so much. And then Don Cheadle is caught in the middle of it, and he's like, "His name is Lee, goddammit!" I don't know if there's moments when you have a song stuck in your head. So I was editing like last week, and I had that stuck in my head so bad. All I kept saying, like, if anyone was here, like, around me, I would yell that out sometimes. Like, if I'm frustrated, I'll just be like, "His name is Lee, goddammit!" I couldn't get over that, dude. "His name is Lee, goddammit." Because Chris Tucker kept on calling him Jackie. I don't know. I guess he had to be there. I like Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle is in Ocean's 13. He was in Crash. Don Cheadle's the shit, man. Like, I don't know. Like, remember?
I never saw Crash, and I have no desire to see Crash.
No, not Crash. I mean Traffic. Don Cheadle's in Traffic.
Was he in Crash too? Everyone was in Crash.
I don't know. Every race was in Crash. But I like Don Cheadle. I pledge for Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle's he's a cool customer. He can do it all. Like, I don't know. I know he's done more work than what I've seen, than what I've heard of.
Hotel Rwanda.
Yeah, and
never
that.
Saw that. He was in that though.
Whenever I see the trailer for Hotel Rwanda, I always see that one shot of like him putting his family on the truck, on the van. And he's like, "Go, go!" And then like the truck pulls out, and you can see him being like sad, like in the street and defeated. He's like, "See, he can do it all, man. Don Cheadle can do it all. Don Cheadle goes over Terrence Howard. Even though Terrence Howard's cool, but you're not no Don Cheadle." That's what I'm saying. And also, I really enjoyed Scarlett Johansson. I liked her in this one too, also because she played it like cold. Like, she played like the role like ice cold, which I'm a big fan when you're surrounded by characters that are hot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really cool. And I heard she got like in good shape, and then she kept on doing like head scissor takeovers. Like, she kept on doing Rey Mysterio moves.
Yeah, she kicked butt.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I was pretty much, at that point, I was like, Scarlett Johansson's a legette, you know?
Yeah, she could be.
I think Scarlett Johansson's pretty cool. Yeah, that was, Iron Man had a really good cast. Like, I really could care less about the plot. Because, you know, at the end of the day, there can only be several plots. It's like, Iron Man's gonna fight himself, you know? Oh, then someone else build a suit. You know what I mean? It's like, what else can you do? What other characters is Iron Man really going to face? Like, there's going to always have to be... There's prerequisites, basically.
Well, but what did you also think about Whiplash?
I thought Whiplash was cool. I mean, like, he didn't really have that much time, to so speak. But it's like, well, how much can you fit in that much time anyway? You have so many characters.
Bird.
Yeah. Like, but I thought, yeah, like, Mickey Rourke was pretty awesome. Mickey Rourke really doesn't have to say much. That's the thing. You know, and his presence speaks for itself.
He had that Russian vibe going. I want my bird.
That is not my bird.
That's not my bird.
You get me my bird. You're stalking these streets. You think you're the best, man. Nah? You lose.
You lose.
I don't know. Going into Iron Man, I don't know. I sort of like, personally, I had low expectation because I already heard negative this and negative that. I always hear negative this and that. And then going into it, like even like the first minutes, as soon as I heard "you lose," you know,
was the last line of him.
But I mean, but you know, not that. But you know, as soon as I saw Mickey Rourke and the excitement, I just didn't care anymore. You know what I mean? I was just going in there. And my heart wasn't really set out to be like, "Wow, I'm going to have a good personal inner journey on this one. I'm going to go inside and I'm going to learn something about myself."
I just kind of went in and wanted to have fun and watch it. But then afterwards, I will say, like, you know, I read a few blogs
today. You lose.
This,
I think Mickey Rourke got, he got killed way too fast at the end. He got the big suit and got destroyed in 2 minutes. What the fuck?
I read
Whiplash. He barely even whipped anybody.
But then he destroys everybody. But I feel like, me personally, the scene on the racetrack, like, there was a time where like they come to like this big party and he runs into the Vanity Fair girl that was in Popular.
Revenge. I have revenge on Tony Stark.
So he, but then like all of a sudden, Pepper looks at the TV and Tony's like on TV and he's racing in the racetrack. And then she was like, "What? He's at the racetrack?" But I didn't even know that they were at the racetrack. I feel like they didn't set that up as well. Like they were in a dining hall area or swanky party area at the racetrack. Did you know that they were at the racetrack at that time?
Yeah.
Maybe I missed that. Well, it's good.
It was the Grand Prix. Everyone, they even warmed up to it because they had tickets and everyone was...
They showed it on TV
when all the cars were pulling out.
No, I saw that part, but then all of a sudden, like, I feel like it went from that swanky party to, like, all of a sudden, like, Tony getting in the car.
He did. Remember, that was the sporadicness of it. Tony was just
that's true.
I'm going to die now. What's the craziest thing you'll do? I guess I'll ride this car.
You lose. That just happened like so fast that all of a sudden it was like, what? Now we're on the racetrack? And maybe I missed a part there, you know? Maybe I was looking at RDJ or something. And anyway, but like, you know, then all of a sudden they were just like on the racetrack, but then Whiplash was there. And like the way he cut the cars in half was like pretty impressive. And like even the CGI and stuff looked awesome.
Yeah, it was really awesome. But I have to say that like I almost... The supporting cast. I was a huge fan of the supporting cast of Iron Man, which is because everyone has to live up to what Robert Downey Jr. is. But even, like, there's those moments, you bring up, like, the when they're at the what's it called? That restaurant, that fancy-ass restaurant. I mean, you have these awesome lines, and even, like, Scarlett Johansson's character shows up. She shows up, and, you know, she has to... What's it called? Robert Downey Jr. is like, let's sit here. That's not our table. Make this our table. You know, and you can see her, just her body language working hard to get the table. You know what I mean? Those little things are really cool. Even like her slight movements. I think maybe what this movie really was, you know, not everyone can have all the lines of Tony Stark, but like the attitude and the physical acting I thought was like beautiful. You know what I mean? Even with John Favreau when he first meets Black Widow, you know what I mean? Like in the ring, like that, there's a lot more physical stuff happening so that Tony can breathe and take in all the vocals, you know what I mean?
Because even like that other guy, the Hammer guy, like you have right there between Hammer and Tony Stark, you have like two super narcissistic characters that are like, in a way, like reflections of themselves. It's just that Tony's a little cooler,
I think. But really, at the end of the day,
how do you think about having two characters that are very similar like that?
I mean, it's very
competitive,
but it's also very similar to how when you have Spider-Man and Eddie Brock, you know what I mean, like in Spider-Man 3, which everyone still dislikes and I still stand for by having it fun, because I enjoy that movie just by looking relaxing, just being like, just, you know, just shutting your brain off for a few minutes, you know what I mean? But I would say, you know, I probably like in Iron Man 2, I like the ending of Iron Man 1 better than Iron Man 2, because you know what, you know, it's cool, but it doesn't have that like, holy crap, credits. You know, that's what I liked about the first one, when he was giving his speech, and that's what this movie started with, giving his speech about who this Iron Man guy was, and then he reveals, like, I'm Iron Man. Then the whole people erupt, and then you're left in the theater being like, oh my god, where do we go from here? But this one, at the end, we're sort of just settling in. You know, like we're settling in, and we're like, all right, we're here for the long run. But I wanted that other punch, because that's what I took away from the first one, was that, holy crap, no one's ever revealed their secret identity like that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what I want. I want something just as big as that. But there's good moments.
The one thing, now looking back on reflection and reading... Reading the blogs the next day.
That is
not my bird.
That is not my bird. Droid better. Human have mistakes. They get messed up, but droid, you can control.
Droid does.
Droid can do it. Droid does.
Russian. James Gunn mentioned on Twitter.
You said there's just enough Samuel Jackson for you too.
Yes, right? I did say, as when we were leaving the parking lot, I said, Samuel L., you know, he can sometimes get carried away. Especially in, like, The Spirit, for example. But I felt like there was just enough of a taste of him that I was content with him, and I saw him, and then it was like, okay, I don't really want to have too much heavy Samuel L., because there can be too much with him.
All right, real quick, what's your final thoughts on the
Iron Man 2? Well, I wanted to bring up James Gunn's point about how, like, when Tony was dying, he felt like, I guess, not to put words in his mouth, but he felt like they could have pushed that more. Because I agree with that now, looking back in reflection.
As he gave like the hand, the cupping hand motion.
Because you know that you saw, when we talk. Saw his like.
I think it's great because people got to see vein. People got to see that like when we're doing the radio show that we actually have we actually do hand motions when we talk.
You have his veins were like having that weird blood flow, yeah. Like you saw that and like, but I feel like they actually could have pushed that a little bit more to know that he was like truly dying.
You know what I really liked? When Pepper Potts found out that he was dying, but you
she's
saw
all yelling and angry.
Yeah, but you saw it all through like these monitors, mm-hmm. like in at Hammer that Studios. Nice. That was probably my favorite moment of the movie. Those moments is why I watched that movie. Like it's really cool. I expect Iron Man to have like crazy stuff like that, but it's those moments, like that awesome ferocity between these characters. That's why I watch, man.
So
it's
overall,
the characters. You know, I'm a character believer, and that's what I came there to watch.
Characters. But yeah. Overall, you know, I thought Iron Man 2 was fun, and it was a good ride, and just go and have fun with it. And definitely Tony's character is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Rachel!
Go to see the characters. Go to have fun.
That's right. And you know what? Have some fun in your life, too. You don't have to be so serious all the time.
Why so serious?
So there you go, guys. We'll catch you all next week. My name is Joe.
That is not my bird.
It's not my bird.
My name is Carolyn. Carolyn.
And we will see you later.
Droid dolls.
You lose.